Philippians chapter 2, verse 17 through 30. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus, that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my need. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, near unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not to him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more eagerly, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was near unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. May God add his blessing upon the reading of the scripture this afternoon. As we look at this passage this afternoon, we want to consider the testimony of Paul as a sacrifice of faith toward others. The sacrifice of his faith toward others. We recognize those who are of true ministry in the Lord Jesus Christ should be able to make such a testimony that their sacrifice of faith is not for themselves, it is for others. That is, Paul felt a true sense of calling upon his life in the sense that he was called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and that he desired to minister unto those that had also come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he wanted to establish them in faith, and that he had the burden of a pastor or as a missionary, as one who would nurture others in like Christian faith. And so he also believed, for instance, that Timothy, who is referred to here in verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your condition, your state, that is, how they were getting along. And, of course, Epaphroditus, he mentions him as well in verse 25. Yet I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my need. And yet Paul considered that he was being offered upon the sacrifice and service of their faith, as we see here in verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Yet he believed that these also, Timothy and Epaphroditus, may be of great service and help, and part of his sacrifice and service was also that he might send them and that he might use them as a means of laboring with him in the gospel and for the furtherance of the gospel, that these might be encouraged at Philippi. And I'd like just like to say to you that we should find this kind of testimony challenging for us, in the sense that we should have similar hearts for God and for his work, that we desire to offer ourselves as well and our labor upon the sacrifice and service of the faith of others. We should be seeking to do that. So first of all, I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, verse 17. Secondly, for all seek their own and not the things of others. Paul evidently felt like there were some who could have done better, but didn't. And also in the very last verse that I would refer to in verse 30, for the work of Christ to supply your lack of service. He desired to somehow accomplish something in their lives through sending Timothy and Epaphroditus unto them. And he realized he wanted them to know that Epaphroditus had a great heart of service for God, even though he was taken ill himself, and he desired to communicate that unto those at Philippi. And so we should take some encouragement, as it were, from these words that the apostle gives. It is a kind of testimony of Paul's sacrifice of his faith toward others. And so his apostolic example. In verses 17 through 20, verse 20, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Excuse me. And so, as much as we might find it somewhat out of character, in the sense that we don't normally take comfort in the kind of sacrifice that Paul is talking about, yet we should realize that those who are called to the ministry do find it a joy and rejoicing to offer themselves and to see the fruit of their labor coming to bear upon the lives of others. They desire that. Why do they desire it? Is it a personal ambition? I do not believe so. Is it a sense that they can take pride in it? No, I don't even think that's the case. Is it a sense that they perhaps are just trying to fulfill some duty or obligation? And I don't think that is it either. I think it is for the cause of Christ and for the love of God that they want to do it so greatly. In other words, someone who is really called to the ministry has a burden to do the work of the ministry. It's something that they just want to do. They have to do it. It's fulfilling the calling God has given to them, and they feel a sense of being deprived of the true fruit of their labors if they do not see and know this true sense of joy for the sacrifice of their service for God. If you know any missionaries who are on the field, what is the one thing they look for? They look to have some kind of fruit in the work of the ministry. They want to see converts to come to Christ. They believe that their work is necessary, whether it's translation work, translating the Bible, or if it's, as in Gospel for Asia, these young missionaries who are indigenous missionaries to their own country, going to their own people, traveling to the small villages round about the various big cities, and taking no particular acclaim for what they are doing. In fact, in most cases, they're usually chased out of the villages by someone. They even when they do establish churches, they find there's a lot of hardship in doing so because there's a lot of opposition to the gospel, but yet they stick with it. Yet they continue to do it. Why is it? Because they have joy and rejoicing in the sacrifice of themselves upon their faith in Christ. That is where they get their joy and rejoicing. Because they love the Lord, and they want to serve the Lord. So they continue forthrightly to preach Christ and to carry on. Paul was like that in all of his service and work. He says, I joy and rejoice with you all. With you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. And so, in this sense, the joying and rejoicing is reciprocal. Paul joyed and rejoiced in them at Philippi, they rejoiced and had joy in him, for they knew of the great love he had for the work of the ministry. I believe this is another thing that we see in those who are truly called of God. They not only give themselves wholly to the ministry and desire to do the work of the ministry and go through much sacrifice for the sake of the ministry, but others also see it and appreciate it. And I would even go so far as to say only those who are true committed Christians in the ministry will recognize it. Those who are selfish and self-centered and only self-serving, they won't recognize it because their hearts are not where they should be anyway. But those who are truly committed to Christ and the work of the ministry will know when someone is sacrificing themselves upon the service of their faith. They will know it, and they see it, and they realize it, and they pray for that person, and they realize that they have a great burden for the work of the ministry. I'll use Ed Seeley as an example because to me he's an obvious testimony to it. Why does he continue to do the things that he does and become exhausted for the sacrifice and service of their faith to whom he is seeking to build up and to edify and to bring others unto Christ? Every little while he seems to go through a bout of something where he is physically depleted and needs to take some rest and recuperation time that he might go back into the ministry again. And he does this upon various cycles because of his body getting weaker and weaker. And recently he did have a bout of that where he was in great need of rest and recuperation, and but yet here he is back at it again. He just loves to do what he is doing for the work of the ministry and for the edification of the body of Christ, for the sacrifice and service of which he has been called to. He loves to do it. And it's very obvious to me that that is the reason he's doing it. He's not doing it for the money. Obviously, he needs to have something to care for himself and his wife, but that is not the reason he's doing it. And he's not doing it for the sake of his gospel track ministry or CD ministry. He's only produced these CDs himself. He has never had national financial backing of any kind. There's been no label which has taken him on and produced the CDs that he's produced. He's only written the lyrics and produced the songs purely out of a drive himself to have a message to preach to Christ. If you will, a companion message to the Word of God. He preaches through these songs as well. And one of the first cassette productions that he put out was called The Preacher and His Poetry. And I still have a copy of it. It's not in CD form. You won't find it anywhere in CD. It's only on cassette. And every once in a while he'll say he thinks he might reproduce it on a CD because it was one of the first ones, it may have been the first one that he did, The Preacher and His Poetry, and it has some really nice songs on it. And every one of these songs are really very edifying songs and preach of Christ and to the body of Christ and for the sacrifice and service of the gospel. And see, here is Paul. He's pouring out his heart to the church at Philippi upon this thing. He isn't even embarrassed to do it. Why? Because, well, this is what he's called to do. That's why he isn't embarrassed to do it. He believes he's called to do what he's doing, and he doesn't mind telling that's what he's called to do. And he does take great joy in the things that he is doing for the benefit of the church at Philippi, and all true pastors are like this in that burden. Says, for the same cause I also do rejoice, and rejoice with me, and you rejoice with me. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your condition. And so it wasn't enough that Paul wanted to be there himself, but he said, well, I know Timothy. Timothy is a trusted, beloved son. I'm going to send him that I might know more of what it is that is going on with you at Philippi. and how that I may pray for you and encourage you in the Lord. So sending this letter and sending Timothy was also a part of what he did to build up the church at Philippi and to share his sacrifice and service for them there. And so I believe also that much of what the pastor does in the church should be the same. We should be doing the kinds of things to build up the work of the ministry. We may not see the work immediately yielding the kind of fruit that we hope, but such as planting and of cultivating and of watering and of bringing forth the increase will take a season for those things to come about. We can't expect those things to happen overnight. We must allow that God bring forth these things in his season, but we must be faithful at it. We must continue at it. If we desire to see men involved in the work of the ministry, godly men, we must encourage godly men. If we desire to see the women's ministry encouraged, we must encourage the women and edify them that they might build up that part of the ministry that will minister to them. If we desire to see young people in the church, we have to in some way go out on a limb, as it were, and try to nurture and to encourage the young people in our church. Now, these are all very challenging areas, of course. And some people are gifted more than others in these areas. And that's going to mean that we'll have to pray through some of these things. We've got to pray through it. We have to pray for people to who are gifted to carry on these various areas of work and ministry. The pastor doesn't have the ability to do it all. Paul couldn't be where he was and do what he was doing and be detained as he was often detained. He had to send Timothy. He had to send Epaphroditus. He had to call upon co-laborers with him. These also were important to the work of the ministry. And we should recognize that. And just because we don't see something happening immediately doesn't mean that it isn't happening. But it is a great burden and desire for every true pastor to see these things take place. And Paul had such a burden, and he is seeking to communicate that. And he tells about sending Timothy. Verse 20, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." What does he really mean here? Well, I suppose in relationship to Timothy, Timothy was someone that he was an endeared and a trusted, a beloved son in the faith. And he says, if I can believe and trust in anyone, it's going to be Timothy. You know, he had that much confidence in him. Now, you will find people in the ministry who will be like that. Someone that you immediately can turn to and know that you can send that person and you can count on that person to exercise their gifts and their abilities, and they have that burden for the work and they're willing to use that burden for the work, and so it's kind of like Paul was saying, well, here's someone right here. Timothy is such a co-laborer. He is one that I can immediately send unto you. And that is important. I suppose it is somewhat of a deficiency in the ministry that there aren't more Timothys. There aren't more Epaphroditus. But we ought to praise God there are Timothys and there are Epaphroditus who are there in the ministry that we can send, that we can trust, that we have such a like mind with. And I think that's important that we recognize that if someone is like-minded with you in the gospel, in the work of the ministry, it is a tremendous aid to what you're doing. Tremendous. That you know somebody you can direct who is right with you, that follows your line of thinking of the doctrines of Christ, that has such a burden for the work of the ministry, that doesn't mind putting themselves out there and trusting God to accomplish something that needs to be done. This is so essential, absolutely essential to the work of the ministry, and Paul felt this of Timothy. Verse 21, For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Well, I suppose in a general sense, this is true. What is the first thing we're concerned about, normally? Well, I've got to take care of my family. I've got to go to work. I've got to provide for my home. I've got laundry to do, or the man says, well, I've got to take care of my duties at home, and I just can't take off and go do something else at this time. And that is a general concept of most people. You know, they have their own things they have to take care of. A young man was in my Christian bookstore yesterday and was talking to me, and he says, I'm a carpenter. He says, I'm a contractor. I have to go out and work every single day. And the pastor has asked me to lead the adult Bible study. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so he came into the bookstore and he says, I need a Bible, first of all. He had a Bible, but his dog chewed it up on him. And it was a large print Bible. And so he said, I got to have a large print Bible. And so I got to have a Bible, first of all. So we went to the Bible case. Robert just organized it all up for me nice, and that helped direct us to the large print Bible. And he was looking for some kind of a Bible study book that he could just reference and maybe pull something out of a Bible study book to help him in the class. And I looked around, and I really didn't have anything at that time that was suitable for that. And so we talked a little bit more, and I said to him, well, I said, you know, just if you can pick out some particular passage that you think is familiar enough so that you can kind of use it as a Bible study, but draw people into the text enough so that they begin to give you some feedback and to talk about the text a little. And he said, well, it's kind of intimidating. I have a couple of pastors in the adult class. And I said, well, that may not be a hindrance, because if you give them a little bit of line, they'll fill in for you. You know, they have enough Bible knowledge. They're going to help you out there if you allow them to speak and to say something. And so he didn't feel quite so bad then. But he says, so he was kind of in a little bit of a dilemma there to know what he could do. But see, the point is, he is someone who was very, very, very busy, but yet he said yes to his pastor when his pastor asked him to do the adult Bible study. See, he has a burden for the ministry. He is willing to make a sacrifice upon his own faith for the ministry, even though he felt very inadequate to do it, even though he was busy all the time and didn't have any time to hardly to prepare. And he says, he said to me, well, I know of a couple of psalms that are really nice. Maybe I'll just take one of those psalms, and we kind of got a mixed group, older people, and so that psalm should speak to a lot of people. And he says, maybe I'll just use that psalm for this week. And I said, well, that's a good idea. You can always pick out various psalms that people can relate to, because the psalms are so wonderfully prepared of God that they bless everybody who reads them. And so he thought he might try that at first and see what he could do. But see, here is a man who was busy, 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 but yet he's willing to do something. See? And what is it that God wants? He wants a willing heart. Will God provide for this man to do this study? I believe so. Oh yeah, definitely. God will provide for him to do it. Now, even if he doesn't have hours and hours and hours to prepare, God will give him a psalm, and he will read the psalm over, and he'll think about it and pray about it, and he'll bring the psalm to the adult class, and I'm sure God will give him what he needs to bring a good study to these adults in his class. But see, that's all God expects of us, isn't it? He doesn't expect you to become a theologian before you go and tell somebody that God loves you and that a passage of Scripture has meaning to you. And so if it has meaning to you, to me, it has meaning to you. And we can look into this and let God speak to our hearts about it. You know, so, yeah, this is important. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And only those who are truly burdened to the work of the ministry will offer themselves upon the sacrifice and service of their faith. Obviously, everybody can't be a Bible teacher. Everybody can't be a pastor. Everybody can't be a missionary. God will take care of that. He will use people as he desires to use them. But I think Paul is just affirming here that though the general rule is that people are trying to take care of their own selves and their own families, there are those who will. Like Timothy, like Epaphroditus, like myself, as Paul says, we do joy and rejoice with you, and we offer ourselves upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, and that you might also joy and rejoice with us in this. And that is an important thing. Verse 22, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me with me in the gospel. Speaking of Timothy. And so the testimony of Timothy was there. And usually the testimony of an individual who wants to serve God is pretty much out there. You know it because that's the way that they live their lives, as to serve God in some way. And Timothy was like that. He had been called, as Paul recognized that calling upon him, and so he was willing to be a co-laborer with the apostle. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So we have Paul making this this true sense of his example made known to them as well as Timothy. And so verse 17, he speaks of that testimony which he had. In verse 21, he goes on and continues to speak of Timothy at verse 21, 22, 23. And then in verse 24 through 30, he says, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. See, here is Paul's heart coming through again. He wanted to be there too. And as all who are truly burdened for the work of the ministry want to be involved in it, they're not willing to lay themselves aside too long. They want to continue. And to be there in encouraging others. In verse 25, yet I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my need. And so Epaphroditus becomes the second person that he begins to bring into this picture of those who are burdened for the work of the ministry, not only Paul but Timothy and Epaphroditus together. And Epaphroditus was of such character that he had great heaviness in his heart for the work of the ministry and wanted to give himself to it. In verse 26, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And so for the work of Christ, there are these expenditures of physical life and limb, many times. It takes a toll upon those who are involved in the work of the ministry, as we know. That many who have served in the ministry have suffered under physical afflictions because of their continued service for God and their willingness to serve and really putting not their own lives first in many cases, but rather of ignoring the things that others might look to with greater care. They themselves have pushed it to the back and decided that, well, why shouldn't I continue in service for Christ and honor the Lord as much as I can and as long as I can? And so they continue on. And so did Timothy, who at times had stomach problems, evidently. Paul encouraged him to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Of Epaphroditus, who felt the burden on the work of the ministry himself. Well, Paul did. I mean, Paul was under great pressure concerning the ministry, and felt the tortures of the ministry upon himself. And so we often find that this is the case, especially for those who are willing to offer themselves in this way. Verse 27, "For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." And so not only Epaphroditus, but Paul, and so he's, "I sent him therefore the more eagerly, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful." We do have a great deal of joy in seeing or participating with those who are involved in the ministry. That's why I suppose, you know, Ed Seeley is so beloved in the ministry, because he gives himself so wholeheartedly to it. And just this week I've gotten a couple of different communications from different people at different churches saying, "We want to see Ed. Is there any amount of time we can steal him away from you so we can have some time with him?" He's only going to be here 3 days, and there's people that want to come, you know, that want to take him and feed him and take him to a restaurant, or bring him to their home and to have fellowship with him. And see, here is the love for those who offer themselves upon the sacrifice of their faith for others. There's just a great love for these people. And it speaks volumes of how God uses these people, of course. And, of course, it can be very trying at times, you know, that there's so much in demand. But they're willing to bear these things for Christ. And so in verse 29, "Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation." So what does he tell the church of Philippi? "Receive Epaphroditus when I send him to you. Do everything you can to encourage him." I think one of the things that is most disappointing in the ministry for me is when I see churches that don't appreciate those who serve others for them, for their sake. That's disappointing to me sometimes. And I know it's just human nature. And maybe it's wrongly perceived at times, too. But I think we should always do what we can to encourage those who are serving in the ministry for what they are doing, because we know that they truly are burdened to do what they are doing, and if there aren't others to do it and to carry on the work in their stead, then we should do everything we can to uphold them, to strengthen them, and encourage them. And so that's one thing I think we can do. We can definitely receive them with gladness, and we can hold them in reputation in this positive and joyful way of receiving those who minister and work in the ministry, and that give themselves wholeheartedly to it. And verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh or near unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Lack of service probably in the sense that others weren't available. Probably not lack of service in the sense that they didn't want to. But it is true that there are a limited number of people who serve. And so what do? We pray that the Lord will send laborers into his harvest field. Because what? The fields are white unto harvest. You see, there are so few who can give themselves wholeheartedly to it, because they have families and they have jobs and they have various responsibilities that they've taken upon themselves, and they just can't walk away from them to do something else. And so they have to be content to supporting those who do give themselves more wholeheartedly to the work of the ministry and are called to that work and are burdened to that work. And sometimes that burden carries them physically aside. That is, they become physically impaired because of their burden for the work. And we've seen this a number of times. And if you follow some of these very great preachers in history, in church history, you'll find many of them were very much afflicted physically. Terribly so, many of them. Why? Because they gave themselves wholeheartedly to the work of the ministry. And it became telling on them. He says in verse 30, because for the work of Christ he was near unto death, not regarding his life. You see, he gave up his life sacrificially, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of ability to help me out in the work of the ministry. But Timothy and Epaphroditus did. They gave wholeheartedly of their work and service, and Paul had the same testimony of his own life. And so let us remember those who work in the ministry and encourage them and support them and pray for them and do everything we can to hold them up before the Lord. And let us also joy and rejoice with them. Let us do that. Verse 18. Let us joy and rejoice with them. They are joying and rejoicing for what they are doing. But let us do it as well. Let us give thanks to God for it. Let us let them know that we appreciate them. Let us do everything we can to let them know of the true spirit of rejoicing that we have in what they are doing for the glory of God. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love and grace to us. Pray, Lord, you will give to us a burden for those who are serving, and that you may also help us to carry out even our own sacrifice of faith for the work of the ministry, and joy in rejoicing in it, and that we might reciprocate to those who are joying and rejoicing for what they are able to do for the glory of God. Father, we just thank you and praise you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's close with hymn number 453.